We don't talk about it very often. Sometimes you see information about it. But one of our significant partnerships that you hear about every week, but we don't always talk about it a lot up here, is our partnership with KYMS, Today's Country Christian. Oh, the other way around. Anyhow, Lee, we're so glad to have you here. Lee Lancaster has been a good friend, him and Carla. We've known them for a number of years. Come on up here, Lee, if you wouldn't mind. And we've partnered, I don't know how many years now, in the radio ministry? 10 years? 11, yeah. 10 or 11 years in the radio ministry. They've gone by very, very fast. So let me kind of just share briefly the story, and then I'm going to hand it over to Lee. But for years, we prayed about, Lord, it'd be really neat to get your word out into this region, into a broader reach for you. And I left that completely to the Lord. I felt like that's what he wanted me to do. And sure enough, God put it on the heart of one of our men a number of years ago that said, John, you need to be on the radio. And so I thought, well, that'd be kind of cool to see God's word go out that way. And so sure enough, God coordinated him with Lee. And before you know, we were sitting down with Lee and we were talking. And now, 10 years later, we have 5 spots, 2 times a day, 5 days a week, in which we are now broadcasting. I don't know how many people we are reaching. We really don't know. But we do know we hear reports often from the community, from around the community, of people whose lives are touched by the Word of God or changed by the Word of God. I've wanted Lee to come and share with you about that. I want you to hear his vision, his heart that God has given him, not just for KYMS, but for the Word of God, for the glory of Christ, to advance the kingdom of Christ in our region. So, Lee, would you just give him a welcome hand?
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And it does seem like it was just yesterday, Joe, though, John. It just has gone by so fast these last 10 years. I'm going to have to put these things on. It's interesting because today's message kind of relates to these in a way. But as I said, it has been 10 years since, or thereabouts, since John and I met each other, and a group of men came and said, we would like to promote the gospel to the Inland Northwest, and you have a radio station that we think would make a good partnership. And so we've been doing that. But just real quickly, how many of you have ever been the person in the car behind when it was being towed by one of those long straps, a tow strap? Anybody ever been the guy trying to drive the, you know? And it's the process of timing that you have to go through. The first time I was asked to do that, I'd never done it before, and I was the guy in the car behind, and so it was one of these, you know, jerking back and forth. The strap would get tight, and it'd pull your neck, it'd get loose, and you'd run over it. The guy in front that's pulling you is just frustrated because the timing is all wrong. Sometimes I feel like that still when I'm working with God. God's the one driving the front car. I'm the one being towed. And it seems like we're constantly getting out of timing with God, and that strap is popping, it's getting loose, and you're just moving around, you're just going, okay, I don't know what to do. But after a while, you do it once or twice, third time, you start kind of getting the flow of it. You start realizing, keep your foot on the brake a little bit, keep the tension on the tow rope, you know, and things will go a lot smoother. Well, that's kind of the way it is when you're trying to do what God's called you to do. Now, I don't want to give you a long, boring, detail-by-detail, curve-by-curve story on how we got here, but there are some significant points along the way that I think are relevant to what I'd like to share with you today, and I hope it will encourage you. So if you would just pray with me for just a moment. Father God, as we just go to before you this morning and ask you to guide us, help us, Father. Help us, Father, as we are being towed by your plan and your purpose for our life, God, that we can be in timing with you. Father, help us to see the purpose and the plan of where we're going and how we're going to get there. And Lord, that when we get there, that we honor you with everything that we have. We love you this morning. I pray that ears be open, hearts be encouraged, eyes to see, Father, what your word has to say today. Amen. So, God gave me I felt like a promise when I was a very young man. And anybody here ever feel like God made you a promise? You know, you young people from Sylvania, maybe the missionary in Laos. We've got folks here that do a Christian school. And there's others that I know that God's using you in so many different ways. And you feel like God promised you something maybe yesterday or maybe a year ago or 10 years ago or 40, 50, 60 years ago. Well, I found myself at an age of about 14 at Calvary Baptist Church in Hugh Springs, Texas. And there was an evangelist there that was from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And I'll be honest with you, to this day, I can't tell you what his name was. I vaguely remember what he looked like. But what I do remember is I was sitting right about there with two of my best friends. We'd driven illegally because we were underage, and my best friend's Chevy pickup truck through the country road, you know. But I'm sitting there, and everywhere this guy went, I felt like he was staring right at me. I could not shake it. I wiggled, I squirmed, I looked away. Every time I looked back, he was looking right at me. Well, that night, I gave my life to Christ. I said I was about 14 years old, and I knew that night, beyond a shadow of a doubt, with the tears, the snot, and everything else that goes along with one of those experiences, I knew that God was calling me to minister for His glory. Now, at 14, you don't know a whole lot, but that I knew. So I pursued that relationship with God very heavily until I was probably about 16 years old. Did some things, led some youth groups, you know, and run around East Texas singing with a singing group that was, you know, ministering for Jesus in churches and all. Then, of course, cars, football, girls, you know, the normal things began to distract me. And I found myself, quite a few years later, not following God, not following the plan He had for my life, not following the purpose that He put in my heart. And, you know, sometimes you wish you could go back and recoup some of those lost days, lost times, lost years. But the thing I found about God is that none of it goes to waste. Not a single minute. Whether you think you're on course or off course, not a single minute of it goes to waste. So fast forward quite a few years, and I'm got in radio. Now I'm doing this rock and roll thing, the long hair, the concerts and the bars and everything else that goes with it. But that thing was still in my heart. I couldn't get away from it. And one night I was on the air. It was actually Christmas Eve, and I was doing 7 to midnight. And so, I was doing 7 to 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was my first radio job. I was 20 years old, thereabouts, 19 actually. I hadn't turned 20 yet. Anyway, so I'm on the air, and I think, boy, wouldn't it be a really fun, neat thing if I just stopped everything at midnight and just did a little Christmas prayer? I mean, it's Christmas Eve, so why not, right? So lo and behold, that's what I did. Right at midnight, I stopped. And I actually, I actually told everybody, hang around here in a minute. We're just going to do a little Christmas Eve prayer as we bring in Christmas Day. So I think I'm being kind of cute and, you know, thinking really outside the box. But what I didn't know is that God was still involved. So I stopped at midnight and I began to pray. And when I was 14 years old, that same feeling, that same unction, it just poured over me. I found myself a rock and roll DJ, long hair, sitting in front of a microphone at a rock and roll radio station with tears streaming down my face, crying like a baby on the radio. I thought, man, when I closed the microphone, I thought, these people are going to think I am crazy. They were right, but that's beside the point. I did get a few calls that night, though, from people going, thank you. I needed that. Fast forward a few months later, a young lady calls. I'm on the air. The young lady calls and says some things that just happened with her boyfriend, and she's embarrassed. She's ashamed. He went and told all of his friends. Now she has to go home and face her mother, and she's thinking, I can't do it. I'm going to end it. I'm done. And she calls me, rock and roll DJ on a rock and roll radio station. Why would she call me? But she did. And we talked, and I shared my heart. I prayed with her. Found out about a week later, she went home, discussed with her mother what had happened. Her mother comforted her, loved her, and embraced her in a way that she wasn't expecting. Now, I'm saying all this to say that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's going on in your life, God can still use you as well. So as I began to follow this journey that I thought was my journey in rock and roll radio, and these few experiences happened, I found myself a couple of years later at an Assembly of God church in Atlanta, Texas now. And I knew that something was going on in here. I had to change. The life I was living wasn't working. And I went that night, it was a Sunday night service, and a brother, Leon Morrow, who's in heaven now, and I went to him and I said, and I didn't know him from Adam, and he didn't know me from Adam. And I said, before I spend another minute in this church, there's some things in here I need you to explain to me. And I had some questions back from when I was a kid and gotten saved, and answers nobody could give me. So Brother Morrow said, well, come in my office. We went in his office, and we spent probably about half an hour. Church service had already started. He didn't rush. He lovingly shared with me those questions that I had. He answered every one of them in such a compassionate way. Well, that night, I gave my life back to Christ. And I'll be honest with you, it took a few weeks, but I knew that I could not continue to do rock and roll radio because I was still doing it. I couldn't continue to do that and serve God too. I couldn't continue to do that and fulfill what I still knew was in my heart. So I got out of radio. Spent about a year working in a factory in East Texas, oil plant type factory. We were making parts for oil field type stuff. That job ended, oil crush happening, and everything shut down. So I found myself sitting in a car dealership in an office selling used cars. And I'm sitting there one day, I'm in my office, and I don't know if you've ever heard God's voice audibly, like in here or in here, and you just knew that you knew that you knew. Well, I was sitting in my office, and I heard that voice, and I'll be honest, it caught me off guard. I actually got up and looked outside the door of my office because I thought somebody was out there talking to me, trying to get my attention. And there was nobody there, so I went and sat back down. As I began, I started praying, and the Lord said, there's a radio station in Dallas that needs you. Now, that's all I heard. He didn't say where in Dallas. He didn't say what the radio station was. I just heard in my spirit, there's a radio station that needs you. Okay. All right, God. So I went to my boss, who fortunately was a Christian, and I said, look, this is going to sound crazy, but. Told him what happened. I said, I've got to go to Dallas. I don't know. I'll be gone a couple of days. He said, okay, I understand, but I can't promise you your job will be here when you get back. I got to go. So I went. And I first went to the station that I was the most familiar with, which was KLTY, which was the biggest Christian radio station in the nation at the time. And so I walk in, and I tell the receptionist I'm here. I'm at a Christian radio station, right? So I'm thinking they're going to understand this when I say it. So I said, God told me to come here. Well, I got one of those, sure, kid, I'll be right back kind of moments. And a very not pleasant person. He was somewhat condescending and rude. But he came out. And he told me, well, you know what, and like I said, there was three other things he said that made me aware that he really thought I was, you know, off my rocker. But he said, listen, there's another radio station. I was in Arlington, and just outside of Dallas. See, there's another radio station on the way back into Dallas in Irving. Maybe you should go by there. So I said, okay, God, whatever you say. So I get in my little car. I drive over there. I find it on the map because we didn't have, you know, these things back then that we could just texted in. And so anyway, so I found the radio station. I walk in. I tell the receptionist why I'm there. She said, well, let me get the program director. Deacon Don Evans, that was his air name. He did mornings at KPBC in Dallas, Texas. And he walked into the foyer out there, and I looked at him and said, now you're going to think I'm crazy. But I was sitting in my office in Atlanta, Texas, And I felt like God told me to come here because there was a station here that needed me. He looked at me for a minute, and he said, I've been praying for 3 months that God would send me someone. That day, I started my career. It was 1985. I started my career in Christian radio. Now, this is kind of a pause moment because this is where you go, and hindsight is amazing to me because you can see so much clearer when you look behind you than you can when you're trying to look forward. But that was one of those points of my life where I could stop and go, okay, God, I can see maybe where we're going with this. And so I began to pursue that career, and we did it faithfully for quite some time. So from KPBC, I went on to Texarkana, back to Texarkana a little while later, and we started a Christian radio station in Texarkana, KHSP. And it started it from scratch. And it went well. Then God said, okay, now I need you to do something else. So I left there. I went to another radio station. My wife and I got married, and we moved to California, from Texas to California. Now, this is where it really gets interesting. In California, there was a radio station that was known as the first contemporary Christian radio station in America. It went on the air in 1975. It switched from acid rock to Christian overnight. You think there weren't some shocked rock, you know, dope heads? They're probably thinking they're speeding or something. Anyway, so I wound up going to work there in 1992. The call letters for that radio station were KYMS. That was in 1982. Several radio stations, and I was there for about a year, and I felt like God was really saying it's time to go. Then found out through the grapevine that sure enough, the owners of the station were getting ready to sell it, and they did. It went to a Korean group. The Koreans bought it. The call letters KYMS went dark, which means they got turned back into the FCC. Well, quite a few years later, as I said, I'll try and give you the Reader's Digest version. Quite a few years later, I found myself here in the Inland Northwest. Through a series of events, through some of that, I wound up working for Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa for their radio station. It just so happens they owned another station here. And I'll kind of fast forward a little bit, but they called and said, would you be consider, because I had worked for them in California, we were now here raising 3 of our grandchildren, and they said, would you consider helping us run that radio station? And I said, sure. Wound up eventually, through one thing or another, we found out me and myself and another person wound up being the managers of that station. About, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months in, we get a call from the general manager back in California, said who also used to be a big fan of the original KYMS, and he said, would you consider maybe changing the call letters? What do y'all think about that? And we're going to change the call letters to KYMS. We're all going, great, because I had worked there. My friend that I was working with, she had worked there, the original one as well. So the call letters got changed to KYMS. So now here I am, full circle. And this is 17 years later, I guess, from the time we started in California, the original KYMS, to fast forward now to the new KYMS. Well, KYMS was the first Christian radio station in the nation, and guess what happened? About a year after we bought it, God said, okay, I want you to change the format. And I said, okay, God, what to? He said, Christian country. I said, what's that? And that's usually the question I get asked when I tell people what we do. Anyway, so now KYMS, that was the first contemporary Christian radio station in the nation, just became the first Christian country radio station in the nation. And I thought it was kind of ironic, but it's just the way God does things. So we're doing this, and like I said, we'd had the station. I guess we'd flipped it to Christian. John, were we doing Christian country? No, we weren't doing Christian country when y'all started. We were still doing contemporary. That's right. That's right. So right about that time, as John mentioned earlier, our relationship got together. Now, in that amount of time, since in about last 10 years, this radio ministry has gone from that Now, we serve the entire Inland Northwest, clear over the Canadian border, Sandpoint, of course, Priest River, Spokane, all the way down past Worley. Possibly, I mean, in the to the tune of a potential of about 500,000 listeners. In that last 10 years, now some of you may be sitting here because you heard Priest River on the radio. I don't know. I know that there are some that have come here because of that. And I've gotten some reports of some phenomenal testimonies about that. But some of the most impressive ones to me, a lady called me one day and she said, I listen to your station every single morning. I listen to Priest River Community Church every morning. This particular morning, John had decided to tackle a very sensitive subject, which was abortion. Now, I don't know, be honest with you, when that message was originally preached here. It may have been 6 months, it might have been 5 years. I don't really know because the way this works, we have like right now, I think we've got 9 years of messages that John has preached over that's in our file. And so at what point he actually preached that message, I don't know. All I know is at what point she heard it. She calls me and she says, I have to tell you, she said, I'm a believer and I've been following Christ for quite a few years, she said, but before Christ, she said, I had an abortion. And she said, I've carried this guilt my whole life. She said, even after I became a Christian, my guilt just wouldn't go away. I didn't know what to do with it. And she said, until this morning, when I heard John ministering in such a way, with so much compassion and so much understanding and so much forgiveness, she said, for the first time, I finally felt forgiven. She said, I had to pull over on the side of the road and I began to weep and just thank God for delivering me from the guilt that I felt. Now, that was a direct connection to you through him, through us, to her. That's just one example. There's a vet lives up in Bonner's Ferry. He's homebound. He can't go to church anymore. He's disabled. And he calls me one day and he says, I just want you to know that your radio station, and he specifically mentioned this church and that ministry, your ministry here, he said, it is my church. He said, I can't leave home anymore. And he said, and as a disabled vet, I mean, some of you probably served, some of you probably know some disabled vets, some of you may be disabled vets, but for him, it was his connection because he could no longer go to church, and so he found himself doing church on the radio, and this he was his pastor. This was his church. And then there's Miss Clary. Now, when we bought KYMS, we had it for up until about a year ago. That was the only radio station. God opened the door for us to expand, which we knew that was going to happen. We expected it. But we didn't know where. So anyway, it wound up being Georgia, Dahlonega, Georgia, in fact, the home of the first gold rush of the United States. There's gold in their hills was actually spoken on the steps of Dahlonega, Georgia, because all the men were leaving and going to Alaska for that gold rush. And the mayor stood on the steps of the courthouse there in Dahlonega and said, wait, men, there's still gold in them there hills. Well, that's where this ministry is now preaching there as well. And Miss Clary, who is sweet, sweet lady, Miss Rose Clary, called me. We were there in Georgia, and she called me one day, and she said, I just want you to know that is her church now, because she's now homebound, and she can no longer go. And so she said, I listen every single morning. And she doesn't just listen. Miss Clary's the kind of Christian that gets her Bible out and goes along with it and makes notes and stuff. And that's what she does at home. Now, those are just some examples of what this ministry is doing. And I wanted to share that with you because I think it's relevant. The Bible says that even the person who gives a drink of water to the servant of God gets a part of that reward. And I wanted you to know this morning what kind of reward you're building because I think it's relevant. But there's some other relevant things that I wanted to share with you. Now, where is God going to take this ministry? I don't know, to be honest with you. We just bought a new radio station in Missoula, Montana. I got a call yesterday. A guy wants to help us buy a station in Nashville. I get these kind of all the time where people are starting to say they love what we're doing. They hear what we're doing. They want us to grow it, and they want to be a part of it. And I appreciate that. I want to do what God wants us to do. But what I really wanted to encourage you this morning, this is where I wanted this to really go. I'm going to share some quotes with you real quick. Everybody knows who Charles Spurgeon is. I think most people do. He's a fairly well-known voice. I'm going to share a couple of quotes with you. From Charles Spurgeon, "If the Lord Jehovah makes us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts. Be blessed, for blessed are all they that wait on him. He is worth waiting for. The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries faith, exercises patience, trains submission, and endears the blessing when it comes. The Lord's people have always been a waiting people." Another quote from a theologian from the 1600s, William Gurnall, said, "Never was a faithful prayer lost. Some prayers have a longer voyage than others, but they return with their richer laden at last, so that the praying soul is a gainer by waiting for the answer." And then finally, G. Campbell Morgan, a British evangelist from also back in the 1700s, preached his first message when he was 13 years old. He said this, and this is my favorite. He said, "Waiting for God means power to do nothing save under command. This is not lack of power to do anything. Waiting for God needs strength rather than weakness. It is power to do nothing. It is the strength that holds strength in check. It is the strength that prevents the blundering activity, which is entirely false and will make the activity impossible when the definite command comes," or make it possible. So that kind of reminds me of remember the tow strap? You know, if you keep your foot on the brake and you're the one being towed, it keeps that strap strong. Well, it's that strength of keeping your foot on the brake that makes that whole process work. And I think that's what this quote is telling us here. We need to be patient with, in fact, that's actually what I've titled the message today is "Don't Rush It." And the reason is because I think there's probably some sitting here right now that maybe have had a vision that God gave them a hope and a plan and a promise maybe many years ago. Maybe back when you were young and you're thinking, "I'm too old to fulfill it now. My ship has sailed." Maybe you're a young person who's going, "I know I've heard God, but I have no clue how I'm going to do it." Well, there was a similar story like that. There's a lot of stories in the Bible, of course, about perseverance and overcoming. I mean, we've got Abraham, we've got David, we've got Solomon, just on and on and on. We could just go down the list. But one of my favorite, it turns out, right after we were thinking about going through with acquiring the radio station, we met with anybody know who J.O. is over at Heart of the City Coeur d'Alene. We met with him and his wife one afternoon, and as we were praying about should we or shouldn't we go ahead and buy KYMS and start Legacy Broadcasting, all that, and he started praying with us and stuff, and after we got through praying, he said, "I'm just hearing the Lord say that God's giving you the spirit of Caleb." Well, now, to some people that wouldn't mean anything, but to me it meant a lot because I had already felt like a connection with Caleb. So let me share with you a little bit about Caleb. And Derek Prince actually compared Joshua and Caleb as an example of how to stay young. He considered Caleb as the one that knew how to stay young. Joshua had a bit of an issue, though. He said, in contrasting Joshua and Caleb, we find the secret to staying young, staying strong, and having the faith and ability to possess our inheritance. Now, in Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, the word says, "Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you're old and you're advanced in years." I mean, could you imagine how that made Abraham feel like, "Oh God, I know, Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I've been fighting for so long." And he had. But then there was another contrast there. Joshua grew old, but there was someone close to Joshua's age. He was only 7 years younger than Joshua, and that was Caleb. Now, there's a lesson from Joshua's life that you should spend your life always fighting, right? I mean, that's something that Joshua was a man of God. He's in heaven. He's one of the patriarchs. I mean, he's a big man of God. But he, I believe, in contrast to what happened with Caleb, I think he felt like he'd accomplished everything he was supposed to accomplish, and he was just ready to just go fishing. Caleb, on the other hand, This is how he stayed young. He said the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all that generation except Joshua and Caleb had passed away. Now, after 40 years of wandering and five more years of war with Canaan, Caleb was 85 years old. Yet he was as strong as ever and able to fight the same Anakites that had frightened his countrymen. In fact, they were so scared 45 years earlier, they literally wept themselves shaking. They were so scared. But that generation passed away except for Caleb and Joshua. Now, what I want you to know this morning is it's never too late. Caleb was 85 years old. Now, the reason that's significant to me, because, see, God gave me a vision when I was 16 years old. We started this ministry about 12 years ago. Now, I'll be 65 next month. So you can do the math. We started growing a year ago. And this is a conversation I had with God. I said, God, why didn't you do this when I was 35? You know, I mean, the amount of energy it takes, what we're doing, my wife and I technically don't even have a home right now. We spend so much time traveling from station to station. We've just set up little bedrooms in the studios of the radio stations because we go so much we don't have time to run a home mainly. But the point is that why didn't he do it when I was 35? I think part of the reason is because I hadn't learned how to keep the tow rope tight yet, you know. But Caleb, here he is, he's 85 years old. And then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me back in Kadesh Barnea." So he's talking to Joshua right now. This is Caleb having this conversation with Joshua. He's being frank with him. He's reminding him of the promise that God had given them. He said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Next month, 65 years old. I was whining to God. Then I remembered, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke to me on that day." He's saying, I've done this for, I'm 85 years old now. It's time. I want that mountain. I'm taking that mountain God promised me. He wasn't going to be denied. Derek Prince says that's what kept Joshua young. He kept his eye on the prize. He kept his focus on the promise. He said, "I'm not going to go to heaven until I've gotten what God promised me." So anyway, "For you heard in that day how the Anakites were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. So Joshua said, "You know what? You're right. Go get it. It's yours. Go take it." Now, there's an interesting thing about that. That land was still populated by the enemy, the giants. They were still there. Caleb said, "I don't care. God said I can have it. I'm going to go get it." "Joshua, do I have your blessing?" "You got my blessing." All right. Now, here's the other interesting part about this story is because God didn't just promise Caleb the land. He promised his inheritance, his kids, the land. Rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Caleb's territory in Canaan included Hebron. So Arbna, the forefather of Anak, Those were the giant dudes. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites. I'll not try and pronounce their names. They were the sons of Anak. From there, he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called, another word I won't try and pronounce. So in Joshua 15, 13 through 15, I'm not the scholar that Pastor John is, so I'd hack it all to pieces. But in Joshua 15, 13 through 15, Othniel was the nephew of Caleb. He captured part of Hebron. Now, why that's significant is because Caleb had said, whoever captures that gets my daughter. Well, he's 85. I don't know how old his daughter was, but she must have been hot because he said, I'm going to go take that land. And so he did. And so the son-in-law, now he's become the son-in-law because Caleb kept his word. He gave his daughter to him in marriage. Well, then the daughter, who now is possessing part of this land, goes to her dad and says, you know what? It's a great land. I love it. Beautiful. We got a house up on the hill. It looks good. But listen, there's a creek down at the bottom and there's a creek up at the top, and we don't have those. Can I have those too? Caleb said, you know what? Just take it. It's yours. God promised it to my inheritance. He promised it to my kids. Just take it. God's promises never grow old. They never wear out. We might, but they don't. We can stay young, I believe, younger. Ted, God's not done. Andrew, God's not done. Kelvin, God's not done, wherever you're at. God's not done with us if we will hold on to the promises that he's given us. Now, I'm going to wrap it up with this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, and you probably might know this, but this ties right in with what Caleb was experiencing. It says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Whew, I need some of that. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not be weary. But this one's even better, I think. Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For I will certainly come. It will not delay. So I want to encourage you this morning. You might be young. You might be old. You may think God's done with me. You may think God can't use me because of my circumstances. I want you to know if God makes you a promise, I'm standing here to tell you he will perform it. I didn't know how. We don't have enough time for the next week for me to stand here and go through all the different miracles that God has performed when he called me and got us where we are. Some of you might remember when our radio station burnt down a couple of years ago, 5 days before Christmas up on Long Mountain in Kokalala, shortened one of the batteries that somebody else was using that we were leasing space to on our tower site, caught on fire, burnt everything. We're off grid up there, by the way. Generator, solar panels, building, transmitter. It was all gone. I pulled up in the snowcat with nothing but smoldering ash, and I turned to God and I said, God, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm finished. And I sat in that snowcat and I wept because I knew I couldn't do another thing. And then the promise was reminded of me. I got to tell you something. 8 days later, we were back on the air. That's just one example. When God says, I will do it, he will do it. So this morning, I'm done, but if you ask if there's anybody here that wants prayer, if you feel like God has called you, if you feel like there's a promise still yet for you, will you let us agree with you in prayer over that? So if you guys don't mind, head this way, and I'm going to step down. Thank you. God bless you.
As we close this service this morning, I want to give you an invitation. We prayed, but we can't pray enough. I want to welcome you to the opportunity to pray, just like Lee's invitation said. Maybe God is working in your life. Maybe you feel hopeless. Maybe you feel like you're just looking for guidance, and you're waiting on God, and He hasn't spoken to you yet. As we close this service, we want to invite you to come and pray, whatever it may be, as you're waiting on the Lord to hear from Him today. Maybe healing, maybe guidance, maybe encouragement, maybe renewal. You feel like you've failed God too greatly, but He wants to forgive you. Come back to Him today. As we close to pray today, would you close us in some music, and then we're going to pray. Danny and I will be up here. Kelly, would you like to come on up here too? We're going to be here. We'll just stand for a few minutes. We'll wait for you. It's not a rush. Maybe you feel a little hesitant. We want to invite you to come forward and pray. Come and pray with us. And then we'll close our service in prayer.